The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Can I just stop here for a moment and back up? Because I want you to see something in this passage. I want you to notice the language here. First of all, I want you to see that it starts off by talking about the Lord. It's like he's way over there. It's like someone I know, but I don't know him personally. I want you to notice this. I'm not going to spend very much time on this, but you need to see this when you read this psalm. The Lord is how he starts out. And then notice how he refers to him as he. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So it's like he's pointing at God who's way far away, calling him he, calling him the Lord. And then notice what happens. He moves from this pasture with a restored soul, these still waters. I mean, think about this. This is a tranquil place. Think about this. I'm laying down in green pastures beside still waters. Oh my goodness, it's peaceful. Have you ever laid down in green pastures beside still waters? It's amazing, right? I mean, he's seeing blue skies. He's feeling good about life. God is restoring his soul. He's probably taking a nap. He's probably getting up feeling all full of joy and peace and feeling all good about himself. And then something happens. Notice this. God is there and I'm talking to God and I'm all in a happy place. And then all of a sudden he finds himself in a valley. Have you ever found yourself on the mountain one day and the valley the next? Have you ever gotten that phone call you dreaded? Have you ever heard the phone ring and when you answered it, you got news you did not want to hear? Have you ever lost something before? A friend, a car, a house, a job, a relationship that was important to you? Have you ever found yourself one day it's all peace and joy and the next day I'm in the valley? And that's what's going on in Psalm 23. He's in this beautiful place. His soul is being restored. No problems anywhere. He's restoring my soul. I am happy as I can be. And then instantly almost, I move from the still waters and the pasture to a place where I think I'm about to die, the valley of the shadow of death. And then notice what happens. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now notice what has changed. His reference to God has changed from he to you. Isn't that something about trouble? Trouble brings God near. And trouble brings you near to God. See, if I'm talking about Chris Spencer, I should call him the great Chris Spencer, shouldn't I? I think everyone would agree with me, especially Annie. I should call him the great Chris Spencer. If I'm talking about Chris Spencer over here, it's he. I'm pointing at him. But if I get close to Chris and I start talking about him, I'm now talking to him. I'm not talking about him. No, I'm saying you. And this is what's happened. He has moved from this place of tranquility now into this place of despair, into this valley of the shadow of death. He said, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And notice he's changed. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. And then he says in verse 5, you prepare a table before me. And now I'm no longer beside still water. I'm in the presence of an enemy. Oh my goodness, how did I get from there to here? How did I get from one day feeling the joy of the Lord to the next day in the presence of an enemy? Anybody ever been there before? That's not the kind of week you ever want to have. But how many of you have had a week just like that before? I was serving the Lord. I was jumping up and down on Sunday in the joy of the Lord. And by Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, I was facing off an enemy. But he said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. And this is the phrase I want to highlight, my cup. Notice everything has been he, you. And then finally he gets to me. And the finale of this story, the finale, the crescendo of this moment, as he says, all of this has led me to a place that my cup is running over. Wow. Now you just let all of that soak in. I was in a dark place, but God came near. He took his rod, he took his staff, he comforted me, and the end result, the place God is trying to get me to, is a place where there's an overflow in my life, and my cup is running over. And then he says, surely goodness, now this is after my cup runs over, surely goodness and mercy are gonna follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How many of you think that is a pretty good trade? One valley for all the days of your life. One table, one enemy to have your cup running over to walk the rest of your life in goodness and mercy all the days of your life. Now, when we quote the psalm, this particular psalm, it's a psalm known as the Psalm of Comfort. Because no one actually dies in the valley. It feels like you're going to die in the valley. Then you get anointed in the valley. And how many have ever gotten anointed in the valley? I mean, it makes you, the valley makes you pray. The valley makes you fast. The valley makes you draw near to God so he can draw nigh to you. The valley makes you fight the devil. When you get trouble, something shifts in your spiritual life. No one wants trouble, but some trouble is good for us. We don't like to think that way, but some trouble is good for us because we start getting in prayer lines and we start buying anointing oil and we start doing things we never did. We start our Bible reading. In our Bible every morning. You let trouble come to your house, it'll send you to your prayer closet. It'll send you to your war room. You'll start showing up for prayer meeting. You'll be the first one in the line. You'll start raising your hands in worship because trouble is in your house. And you know that if God comes near, the devil won't be anywhere to be found. All you got to do is get God close. And the devil's not going to hang around God. He's just not going to. That there's a secret here that if you can ever get yourself into God's presence, you've automatically removed yourself from the attack of the enemy in your life, because the enemy got the presence of evil and good are not going to dwell under the same roof at the same time. So when you get the glory of the Lord in your room, sometimes you just need to turn your house into a sanctuary.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
All right, so I want to make an observation. We've already talked about how a person is moved. They've just moved from tranquility beside still waters. He's restored my soul, to now I'm in a valley. Now he gives you two sources to get you out of that valley. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let me give you a choice. Which one do you want, the rod or the staff? I'm sure everybody wants the staff. Nobody wants the rod, because we don't like to think about the rod comforting us, even though it changes us. So God says this can go one of two ways. I can either put my shepherd's hook around you, my staff, and I can pull you out, or I can swat you a few times and get you out of this valley. I can whip you into shape if we have to. That's the rod. The rod is for beating off the wolf. The rod is not what you want. Now, anybody ever heard spare the rod and spoil the child? I've got news for you. That is not in the Bible, but my father knew, he just believed it was, and he practiced it. And my grandfather thought, everybody said, spare the rod and spoil the child. Well, that is not a scripture in the Bible. It's probably a really good principle, and I think some people probably need to apply a little more to the seat of understanding. But I'll tell you, that is not in the Bible. But God here talks about a rod. Why would a shepherd have two tools? One is to guide the sheep. He rescues them with the hook on his staff. If a sheep has fallen, he pulls it up from the fallen place. So the staff is to guide and rescue. The rod is to prod. The rod is to prod. Now, I don't know how many of you grew up on a farm or you live on a farm right now, but you know there's a big difference in leading sheep and leading goats. Because sheep will follow your voice, but a goat will not. You have to have a prod to get a goat to go where you want. You lead sheep from the front. You lead goat from the back. A sheep will follow you. You can just sing along and they'll follow you and go wherever you want to go. You know how you get a goat to go where you get behind him and you do this. You have to prod the goat to get him where he wants to go. That's the rod. We all want the staff, but sometimes our valley lasts longer than we want it to. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray and we still don't get where we want to get with God because we're asking God for the staff when the Lord says, I love you so much. I know you want the staff, but if I give you the staff, you're going to end up back here in a week. If I give you the staff, next month you're going to be in the prayer line for the same thing. How many people have you met in your lifetime? And don't raise your hand if you're one of them, and don't elbow anybody. But how many people have you ever met? They're up and down and up and down. They got the victory, then they lose the victory. Then they get the victory, then they lose the victory. Then they get the victory, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And oh, woe is me, for I am undone. And I'm a man. You know, I mean, it's like they cannot hang on to it. They cannot keep it, even though they get it. I've seen so many people, you know, I don't care. I don't care how many people get slain in the spirit. That I hope everybody does at some point in time. It's a wonderful experience. But what really impresses me is when they get up differently than they went down. And that's what's supposed to happen. You can't have enough oil slapped on your head to crank a bus and never change. At some point in time, you got to start respecting your husband or God's never going to answer your prayers. Every woman in the house knows that the Lord says, if you don't respect your husband, you can pray all day long. God is never going to answer your prayer. That's the scripture. God does not answer the prayers of disrespectful women who disrespect their husband. He does not answer their prayers. And how many of you men know that God does not answer the prayers of a man who does not honor his wife? I mean, I didn't make that up. That's in the Bible. You disrespect your husband, God says, pray all you want. I'm not listening. You dishonor your spouse, you dishonor your wife. The Lord says, just pray all day long, fast and pray, shout in the aisles. But you're going to stay in the same place you've always been, and you're going to keep struggling with the same problems you've always had, because at some point in time, you do not need a rescue. You need a whipping. I don't know how much plainer to say that. You do not need God to make you feel better. You need God to make you live better. And at some point in time, you got to quit asking God for things when you're violating every principle in the scripture. You're not submitting, you're not respecting, you're disrespectful, you're controlling, and yet you want God to answer all your prayers. Honey, you are deceiving yourself. It is not going to happen. You're going to have the same problems over and over and over again until you allow the rod of correction to change you. I love you and I love my children and God loves his children, but sometimes it takes the rod of correction to get us out of the valley so that we don't come back. So thank you, God, for your staff. But God, I don't like saying it and I don't like living it, but thank you for the rod of God that makes me live my life in a different way and allows me to live in victory.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.